again, we want to thank you for coming up tonight. An easy night to curl up in bed or sit by the warmth of the fire, but a good night to be listening to the Word of God. The Gospel, excuse me, the Gospel as John records it. John's Gospel, chapter 7, please. John chapter 7. Verse 31. John chapter 7 and verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And the Lord Jesus, in the great day, that last day, the great day of the feast, further down the chapter, says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, that they are the ones that were sent to arrest him, to take him, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. That's our reading from the Word of God. Want to speak for a little while this evening about the Lord Jesus speaking. And this tremendous comment that was made by men that were sent to arrest the Lord Jesus. They were sent that they might trap him in some way and arrest him and bring him back to the religious men. And they came back empty-handed. And when they were asked, why have you not brought him? And they said, never man spake like this man. While Clive was speaking to us about the younger son, that one we call the prodigal, I was thinking that so many men have spoken like he has spoken. They've had to. When he came to himself, that really seems to indicate it was like he'd been unconscious. He was out cold. But when he came to, he came back around. And it's like a man, he's been stunned in a fight, and he comes back, and he's coming to, and he's lying on the ground, and the sparks are still flying from the eyes, and he says, how many servants in my father's house have more than enough, and I'm perishing here with hunger? How many people in the world tonight? Some have said, some won't admit it. Some thankfully have admitted it and said, I perish with hunger. And then they've said, I will arise and go to my Father. Oh yes, many have had to speak like these men. But here with our Lord Jesus Christ is a unique man. He's distinct. He's different. In fact, that word that we have in the text here, whosoever, there are some translations that say that God gave his only begotten. Some translations that say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that's true. That's very true. Jesus Christ was God's only son. But the word means more than just God's only son. It means he was God's only unique son. He was different to all others. Every person that trusts Christ as his or her Savior becomes a child of God. Sons of God, but that's different. Not unique sons. This one is one of his own. One in his class. It's actually from two words, mono, only, and jeans. Those things that make us different. Not the pants that some people put on, the jeans. The jeans that make each and every person distinct. And the Lord Jesus had mono, singular, unique genes. For there was no human intervention, there was no sin, there was no contamination, there was no defilement in him. And let's think then about him for a little while this evening. When it comes to the work of creation, the Bible tells us in the first chapter of this book that we're reading, and we've already looked at it, all things were made by him. All things were made by him. How? When I come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, and it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Or says someone smart, but that means the ages. And it is the word for ages. But it means more than ages, because it says, so that things which are seen, and you can't see ages. So not only is it the ages, but it's the world. Because without a tangible, visible world, you can't count ages. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. In the beginning God created, but all things were made by him. Never man spake like this man. You see, he's different. No man can ever lay claim to this, that he spoke the worlds into being, except our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 33 verse 6 tells us as well, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Just by his word. Here we have people, evolutionists they call themselves. And this evolved from that, and that evolved from this, and so the chain went on. And even if that were true, which is not true, but even if it were true, where did the first this come from? Some say there was a little speck of dust and a little drop of water, and they sort of met and they stuck together, and from that it started to build. But where, even if that were true, where did the little speck of dust come from? Where did that little drop of water come? Where was the space? How did it come into being? Is it puny mind, finite mind, human mind, limited mind, is trying to dig beyond where we're able to understand, and because we don't understand, we say, don't believe it. Well, I've never studied physics. I know nothing about it. But to stand here tonight and say, I deny completely the law of physics, would constitute me an imbecile. I don't understand it. I don't understand even the laws of electricity. But I can't deny its existence. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, he spoke, and it was done, he commanded, and it stood fast. No other man has ever spoken like this man. This is the one that we are speaking about. I'm not telling you, I'm not reminding you about a great orator. I'm not telling you about a great politician. I'm not telling you about a great benefactor. I'm not speaking about a great priest or a great pastor. I'm not speaking about a politician. It's the unique Son of God. And no man ever spake like this man. He's worth listening to. He's worth lending your ear to. It's worth surrendering to his claims upon you. As he said, and Clive has been reminding us, come unto me. Never man spake like this man. Oh yes, some great political leaders, some great military leaders have said, come to me, join my forces, and we'll liberate the world and we'll build a utopia. And it hasn't come about. Because other men have spoken the same, and their words have failed just as these great men have failed. But here is one who uniquely could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you got rest for your soul? Do you know what it is to have real rest? Real peace. Not to sleep 6 hours or 8 hours. Not to be able to sit back in your house and say, I can put my feet up and I can just rest and be at peace. No. Real rest. Real peace. Real satisfaction. Real joy that the world cannot give. Has never given. And never will give. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, no one ever spoke like him. Not only as far as creation is concerned, but even as far as sustaining the universe is concerned. Never man spake like this man, because it tells me in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 that he upholds all things by the word of his power. What other man can lay claim to that? What man can lay claim to this? We'll go outside of New Zealand, we'll go outside of Australia, we'll go out and we'll go into the big lands, the big countries, the big powers. But no American president, no Russian prime minister, no European leader can ever lay claim that he upholds everything by the word of his power. It's no wonder that these men came back. They only listened to a few words. They only heard the Savior saying that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. Satisfaction. Enjoyment. Peace. And they went back and said, never man spake like this man. Have you heard the voice of the Savior? I think of the Lord Jesus in his incarnation. He's coming into the world, becoming a man. And it said, and although it was prophetic, it said concerning him, a body hast thou prepared me. Now that's not the way that we speak about our birth, is it? We were born. And the Savior was born in Bethlehem. But the Savior existed before he was born. The only man that ever existed before his mother. And he existed long, eternal ages before his mother was ever born into this world. And he was able to say, a body hast thou specially prepared for me. No man can speak like that. No man can lay claim to that. All men might make claims. Men might desire and have great ambitions. But none of them can say that God has specifically and specially prepared a body for them. I think of the Lord Jesus in his humanity. And he could say, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. In fact, when I trace back to Psalm 40 where this saying comes from, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And even those of you here that are saved, those of us who have our sins forgiven, and those of us who want to please God, we can never say that we delight to do the will of God all the time. Sometimes I do the will of God. I don't always. I've got to confess that. Yes, I am a bit hypocritical. I do have my shortcomings. I do have my failures. But sometimes I do the will of God. I know I do the will of God, but I can't always say that I delight to do it. But the blessed Savior could. And he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And even when that will took the Lord Jesus to Calvary, he delighted to do the will of God. Never a man ever spoke like this man. I want us to think of the Savior as he comes into the world. And he says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did any other man speak like this man? You ever heard of another man that moved through this world? Some have gathered up armies. Some have gathered up followers. Some have gathered up hopefuls. But what man has ever said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost? My only purpose in coming into the world is to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I have to ask you, are you lost? Are you lost? Or you say, I know precisely where I am. Yes, you know where you are in Dunedin. You know where you are in New Zealand. You know where you are geographically in the world. But spiritually, are you hopelessly and helplessly lost and tangled in sin and its misery? And you know it's taking you like a great cesspool that is sucking you down into eternal destruction. And it's destroying your life and wasting every moment. I've got a very good friend in Colombia. A man that one night went out into the coffee plantation. And he said he was absolutely distraught. He got down on his knees for the very first time in his life apart from ritual. And he said something like this, God, my life is spiraling out of control. I'm destroying my own life, I'm destroying my wife, I'm destroying my family, I'm destroying my future. Everything is out of control. I need someone to take over my life and to change my destiny, to change my whole outlook on life. And if at the farther end there is a heaven, then that's a bonus. It's right now that I need you, God. And I believe that Jesus Christ died to do just that for me. And he was saved. Sometime later, another Christian man asked him, what was your verse of the Bible when you were saved? Well, he said, I didn't have a verse. Well, he said, everyone has to have a verse. Well, he said, brother, I didn't have a verse because I didn't know a verse of the Bible. I knew the general idea that God had sent his Son in love to die for me, and my life needed Jesus Christ, and I didn't know a single verse of the Bible, but I knew that Jesus Christ died for me, and I cried out to him for help and salvation. Unsophisticated, simplistic, but sincere. And we know it all. You know it all. But have you ever cried out like that man? Lord, save me. Oh, the Savior, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is there anyone else in the world that can offer you that? I can't offer you that. I can't offer you that. The Christians that meet here in this gospel hall can't offer you that. We can only tell you of Christ. We can only point you to Christ. It's not in us. It's not through us. It's in Jesus Christ alone. The Savior said the same one said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Any other man speak like that man? any other man speak like Jesus Christ? I didn't come to call the righteous. Those who are well, those who are whole, those who aren't sick, they don't need a physician, they don't need a doctor. You don't normally run along to the doctor just because, well, it is Monday, I better go to the doctor. Or it's Tuesday morning and I better go to the doctor because, well, I gotta do something. But they that are sick, then the Savior said, I came not to call the righteous. They're not the ones that, they're the ones normally, the righteous that people go after. You want them to get friends. You want to get followers. You call the righteous. You don't want the neighbors to see you making friends with the down and out. You don't want the neighbors to see you making friends with the robbers. Well, with those that are given over to complete, simple life. But our Savior, He didn't come looking for the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Now I think of the Lord Jesus in His life, His impeccability, His sinlessness, beyond the reach of sin. And He stood one day before the religious men and women, and they were out to get Him. And as if the Savior stood up in front of them and He said, right, throw it. Which of you can make a stick? Which of you convicteth me of sin? Or you can make charge. You make the charge stick. Never man spake like this man. I would have to admit, many times I have sinned. I'm awfully glad that my sins wouldn't be written up on this wall here tonight. Because I can tell you with every sin that I had committed, even since I trusted Christ, was written on this wall here, I would be out of town before tomorrow morning. But here was a man, and he stood before them all, and he said, which of you convicted me of sin? What a man. What a perfect man. And yet people despise him, and people take no notice of him, and they walk along the street and they blaspheme his lovely name. And Jesus this and Jesus that. And they curse and they swear and they bring his name into it. What harm did he ever do to them? What harm did he ever do to you? No other man spoke like this man. And you still won't come to him. And you still won't trust him. You still won't rest in him. No other man spoke like this man. I think of the Savior and Calvary's cross. And you could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Never man spake like this man. No man has ever experienced the awfulness of being completely abandoned by the God of heaven as this man did, as Jesus Christ was, hanging as a criminal on a criminal's cross, abandoned by his own preacher man, forsaken by his own disciples at the beginning, and the very God of heaven with whom he lived in intimate communion, turned his back on his blessed Son when he was made to be sin for us. And out of the depths of his suffering, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No man ever spake like this man. And still, what are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with him? Okay. We come to the end of another meeting. Let's go home. Oh no. This is something that you must face. This is absolutely impossible to avoid. No man ever spoke so kindly and so graciously to your soul. No man ever loved you like the Savior and spoke love like the Savior. No man ever suffered the judgment of God so that I might never suffer eternally. What are you going to do? Just go with people that take his name in vain? Allow people to curse his lovely name? Never man spake like this man. I think of the Savior still hanging on Calvary's cross. And he was able to say, "It is finished." And no single person in this whole world throughout all of history ever has or ever will be able to lay claim to this, that the work of redemption has been finished and finished forever. Finished. I believe in Greek one single word. Finished. It's finished. It's too late to add to it. It's pointless trying to do. All the doing has been done. It's done by the Lord Jesus 2,000 odd years ago. It's too late to try and do. And there's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do. And if we could do, even the very best of our doing would still come short. But he said, "Finished. I've done it all." And he offers salvation freely. He offers salvation eternally. But you must accept it. I think of the Lord Jesus. It's spoken, I know, to a church, but in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any person hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." And you tell me one other man spoke like that. You tell me one other person has waited 20, 30, 40, 50 years. The prodigal son, who knows how old he was when he went to the wild country? Who knows how old he was when he came back? I wonder how many years the Savior waited for him. Years ago in Venezuela, there was a man. Maybe I told you just recently. Maybe I didn't. A man that lived most of his life in sin, in degradation. And then he trusted the Lord, and he only lived a few years. And he came to the end of his life, and you know what he said? "What a pity. So much of my life wasted in sin, and so little time to live for Jesus Christ." Never man spake like this man. He's at the door of your heart. He's at the door of your life knocking. Will you hear him? Will you open to him? Will you let him in? Let me tell you this as I finish. Years ago as well in Venezuela, there was another man. Apparently a big man. And the gospel preachers had come to town and they were being told that it was doctrine of demons. This was devil doctrine. And they got this man to lead the pack. And they were going to now to stone the gospel preachers this night. Big man Naranjo, he got a big stone in one hand and he got a stone in the other. And he led the pack down. "We'll fix them," he says. "We'll drive them out of town. Preaching devil doctrine in our town. We'll send them running." And as they approached the meeting, he heard this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And big Naranjo stops and says, "Doesn't sound too much like devil doctrine to me." And he listened. And one stone went down. And as he was listening, he heard the preacher say, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He said, "This is not devil doctrine," and the other stone is down. And that night, the leader of the pack trusted Christ. First time he ever heard devil's doctrine. But it was devil doctrine from heaven. And he trusted Christ. And you've heard it 5 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, I don't know how many times. And the Savior is still saying, I'm still standing knocking at the door. If you'll open, I want to come in. Never man spake like this man. Will you let him call? Will you let him speak in vain? Or will you surrender to know? And say, Lord, I'll open my ears. I'll open my mind. I'll open my heart. And I'll trust you as the one who died to save me. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for such words that no other man could ever speak. We thank thee for such a man who could speak like no other man. Not just words, but a man who was unique and distinct and loving the very revelation of divine love. God manifested in flesh, who suffered and died that we might be in heaven. We offer thanks to him. Pray for thy parting blessing in his name. Amen. In the little green book, as we close, hymn number 28. Hymn number 28 in the little green book. Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died? Where your debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from his wounded side. Now the last verse, 4 I think it is. Have you read that he looked to heaven and said, 'Tis finished, 'twas for thee.' Now, just let me remind you that the meetings continue each night at 7 o'clock during the week. Please come back. Please bring friends. But please, above all, make sure that everything is right with the soul. We'll stand and sing just the last verse in the chorus of number 28. And thanks again for your